Guys, I am super excited this week to continue part four of our series. Now, we've been going through the book of Ephesians chapter by chapter. And I really hope you've there's so much in the book of Ephesians. I call it like a trifle. How many of you like trifle? Okay. Trifle's got a lot of layers and it's yummy. Okay. So this book, every letter is just builds on the other letter and there's so much richness in this book. And that is really what the Apostle Paul wrote from his place in prison. And really, he's got a message here about the riches that we discover in Christ. Friends, there's so much that we still need to discover and what God wants to uncover for us in this year about Jesus, okay? He's the reason we're here, you know? And so as a church, we want to be a Christ-centered church and a Spirit-empowered church. And that is what the Apostle Paul encouraged. How many of you love to receive letters? Okay, it's so good to receive a letter, isn't it? I mean, email is different. You know, you get an email. It's not really personal. But I love the letters that Paul wrote, you know, by hand from his place in prison. Now, I remember when I arrived in London, a few years ago, in about 98, I arrived from South Africa. And I remember I received these letters from my parents. Really from my mom, okay? I'm a bit of and this letter will be really personal. My son, you know, I'm proud of you and praying for you. And, you know, it was these personal letters that really meant so much to me. There was a lot of encouragement in there and a few recipes there. Really, I didn't know how to cook. When I arrived here, my goodness, I struggled. It was, you know, just trying to live on one-minute noodles and, you know, try to, you know, put a hard-boiled egg together and things like that. But since then, I've become a little bit better. I mean, I've tried my pizza before. But anyway, that's you know, Paul's letter was just beautiful. It came from a heart of, you know, I care about you. You know, he was a spiritual father to many churches. Paul was an every nation man. He loved the nations. And his heart and desire was to establish Christ-centered churches, Spirit-empowered churches. Paul was a church planter, okay? This is a church plant. You know, this church, you know, came from originally London and, you know, Dublin. And from Dublin, I came here to help start this church with some incredible leaders. But that was the vision that Paul had, is to take the gospel to the nations. To take this message, the richness that we discovered in Christ, and pass it on to the next generation. So, you know, letters are exciting when they're personal, when there's meaning to it. And I really pray, my prayer is that you will find meaning to this letter as we uncover the richness of Christ. And now we ask ourselves, you know, why did Paul write these letters? Because he knew he could relate to some of the people there. You know, going through some things in their lives. Paul was a great encourager, exhorter. And he could relate. You know, he's been through suffering himself. Just imagine, he's sitting in this place. He's in prison, bound in prison. And now he's writing this letter. Even from that place of discouragement, he still had the heart to encourage the church. I just love that of Paul. But he knew that people will be tested. How many of you know that you're going to be tested this year? How many know that you're going to go through some trials this year? I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. It's the reality. This has been a tough week for me. If I look back at this week, as some of the things that I had, I mean, I was preaching. I'm preaching to myself this morning. You know, there's things that I need to be reminded of. You know, as I go through stuff in this year, knowing God and His promises. And so, you know, the theme of this book is discovering and knowing who you are in Christ and how to live in Him. That is important. As Christians, this book is about our identity. It's about purpose. It's about knowing who you are and whose you are. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I shared a bit about us, the Lion King, and how Simba the lion had to go to that lake and had to be reminded who he is as a lion. You know, he felt insignificant. He felt insecure. But I believe this is the theme. This is what God wants us to know as believers, as we are in Christ, as we made that decision to follow him and believe in him. There's some truths and some absolutes that he wants to reinforce in your life, that you will not question your identity, that you will not question your calling this year, but that you know that there's a God and a Father that is with you. He's got your back. And the wonderful revelation is that he's in us and that he'll never leave or forsake us. What amazing, amazing promise that is. So, one of the things that I want to focus on as well is that, when I look at, when we are in Christ, when I look at Jesus, I don't look at him as he owes me anything. He's done everything already. When I look at Jesus, I see him as the all-sufficient one, not lacking anything. And that is what my prayer for you is this morning, as you see our wonderful Savior, that you know that he's done everything possible for you. And so you've inherited, you've received some incredible riches. He's given that to you. That's the advantage we have as believers. It's not something we have to go and search for. It's something that we've already received in Christ. And so, like I said before, my prayer is that we don't walk through this year not knowing the things that God has for us already. And so I want you to be reminded as we read from the scripture. If you've got your Bible here this morning, please turn to Ephesians 3. And we're just going to go through this morning. There's a lot to be said here. So there's just a few things that I believe is essentials that I want to share. So I've entitled this message, to break it down to a few words. I've got a title here, The Purpose-Filled Church. Okay? I know that Paul wants us to be a church that knows our purpose, knows our position. All right, some of you might have read the book, the Purpose-Driven Life. Okay, I love that book. I might not always agree with the driven part. I don't feel the church needs to be driven. I feel the church needs to be led. Okay, so I'm not discrediting the book. I think it's a wonderful book. But I believe as we find the purpose, and that's what we're going to look at today, the Holy Spirit that's been given to us is to really help us to uncover some things, to lead us. So Paul writes here, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And I'm just going to pause there for a moment. And I want us to focus on that little, I've highlighted it, is to be revealed by the Spirit. And so as we look at the book of Ephesians, we just see, there's some practical things that Paul wants to teach us, things that he wants to give us. And he says here, there's things that the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. I can read this Bible, but there's things that's just not going to make sense to me. And I really need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was really given to us as a helper, okay? He helps us to get understanding and get a revelation. And so, friends, I believe that God is going to do things this year by his Spirit. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit. There's things that he enables us to do that goes beyond human limitations, human understanding. And so he does that by his Spirit. He's going to empower you to do some incredible things. Revelations are going to come. I believe this is going to be a year of revelation as the Holy Spirit uncovers and leads you into the things of Christ. Are you excited about that? You guys are very quiet this morning. This is something to get excited about. But I'm sure the prophets were excited. I mean, they were, wow, this is amazing. And so, revelation is going to come. And he's saying this, I'm going to do this by my Spirit. And then I continue here. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Friends, we need to know this truth, that we are all called to partake of God's promises. This promises, it's for everybody. It's both for Jew and Gentile, okay? Now, it's obviously their decision if they want this. Because it's there. It's available. And we can partake of those promises in Jesus. I just don't want people to miss out on promises. This is why we're here. This is why God has brought us to this city. This is why we're pursuing the vision to reach every nation in our generation. Because we want to see people get this revelation that they can partake of these promises that God lists in throughout Scripture. And, you know, I come from South Africa, obviously, as you guys know, some of you know, and I just love what God has done in our nation, where God has brought such reconciliation. Look, it's a work in progress, okay? If you see the papers and if you see the news, there's so much prayer that still needs to take place. But, hey, we've come a long way. And I remember it was about 95 that I wasn't in that particular church venue at our Every Nation Church in Cape Town. But, you know, Nelson Mandela had a meeting right next to it in a hotel. And, you know, he walked past. He just saw this big gathering. Now, it's a big church. It was, at that point, about 10,000 people. And, you know, they were gathering, you know, on the Sunday morning. And he just saw these people from every tribe, every nation coming, you know, different cultures, this beautiful, diverse gathering. People coming together, and he said to his PA, can you please go to one of the pastors and, you know, ask him if I can say a few words, you know? And so they were leading worship at the time, and so you just think about President Nelson Mandela walking into Every Nation Church at that point, and, you know, he went and they said, you know, ask permission if you could share a few words. And they said, yeah, sure, Mr. President. What a wonderful opportunity. And so Mr. President came and he stood in front of this beautiful, diverse group of people. Now, some of you know that there has been a lot of segregation over the years and apartheid in South Africa. And so it's just a miracle how, you know, this vision, that there's a biblical vision, brought people together. And so Nelson Mandela then spoke and, you know, and, you know, it almost brought him to tears. When he looked at the crowd, he said, now this is a picture of what I want to see happen in this nation. This is the picture. This is a dream. Like Martin Luther King had a dream, Nelson Mandela had a dream to bring people from all nations, whether you're black or white, together in one place. And I see that vision coming to fulfillment. I believe that God is going to bring the nations together in our city. Amen? Because this is what it says. Gentiles, we are all fellow members. We belong to a kingdom. And I'm excited about that. And that's why, you know, God, Jesus instructed his disciples to keep praying. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants it to be a reflection of heaven on earth. Because in heaven, every tribe and nation is worshiping him. And I believe this is what's going to happen as people come and they get these amazing, get a revelation of these promises. You know, so what is God's plan and purpose for man? Now, this is a big, big question. It's so broad. You know, and you think, what is my part in all of this? As I read this, and I believe the purpose is to know the riches in Christ and to also share with others about the riches in Christ. Friends, as you receive this position, as you receive this title, as you receive this rich deposit and, you know, things that you've inherited because you're a son, you're an heir, why don't you want to share that with others? You know, I believe it's not a selfish thing. I believe Paul was encouraging the church not to be selfish with this revelation. He really encouraged them to go and share with people what you have received in Christ. This is what we're doing as we're going cross-culture, as we're going to the west of Belfast, to the north, wherever we gather. You know, we get people coming from different walks of life, and we get the opportunity to share about the riches of Christ in our life groups and every opportunity that we get. And because that's what we're passionate about. We are passionate about to go and make disciples, because that's what He's instructed us, to go and teach them what I've commanded you. And we've been received some teaching. We've received some of these amazing revelations. And for me, I'm passionate about sharing truth with people. God's eternal purpose is to make known His manifold wisdom through the church. In verse 10, it says this, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be known, made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, if we look at the rulers and authorities, theologians say that, you know, that is angels, it's demons. There's rulers in the heavenly places. So that basically says that everybody should know of the wisdom that exists in Christ. Everybody. Friend, that you know that this word is just so full of wisdom. There's a desire from the Father for people to receive wisdom. You know, we don't want to walk through life foolish with no understanding. And so there's some incredible wisdom that He wants to manifest through the church. Give to the church. And I say, I want you to pass this on. And I'm looking forward to the day where authorities will come and consult the church for decisions. And it's happening. It's happening. You know, every nation world and some churches in the U.S. And some of my friends are, you know, they have senators, leaders consulting them about some decisions. They're consulting them about some things just consulting them about a lot of things in life and saying, please, can you pray for me? I need wisdom. How many of you need wisdom here this morning? How many of you have got some decisions that you need to make this year? And I believe God just wants to consult us. But He says, my dear sons and daughters, it's here. It's in my words, in my scripture. And I want to give it to you. I want to give it to the church. He would not just give it to anybody else. He wants to start. He's starting with His church. Because He wants the church to represent His kingdom here on earth. So I'm very excited about that. And that continues. For this reason, and this we just get to Paul's prayer here. Paul's prayer, and, you know, I love Paul's heart. I started off, you know, just describing Paul's heart. But it says here, it starts off, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. And just see this position where he starts off. It's a place of humility. It's a place where he's saying, this is the reason I'm bowing before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. So this is a prayer that comes from Paul with a desire to see people get a revelation of our Jesus. He's praying and interceding for them. He said, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened. So he's praying and he's saying, you know, I pray that the church, the people, will be strengthened this year. That they'll be strengthened with the power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. And there he says, I've got a desire for them to know this Jesus that I'm so passionate about. And my desire is that they will be grounded in his love. Wow. It's so important as we start this year, as we continue our mission. We can do all these things, but if we don't have love, friends, it's got to be at the center of what we do. It's got to be at the center of what we do as a church. And he said, it's so important that you get this. Don't get caught up in works. Don't try to impress me with all these words and all these sermons and all this stuff and events. I want them to be rooted and grounded in my love. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my goodness. That is the prayer coming from the Apostle Paul, that you will be filled with all the fullness. Not just be happy and content with a little bit, but there's so much more. And that's my prayer, that there will be just such a desire birth and stood in you to discover more and say, Lord, I want more of you. I desire everything that you have for me. And it says here, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. I just love this prayer. And I really pray that this will become our prayer, that this will become your prayer this year as we see God. You know, friends, it doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're facing right now. We just need to be reminded. How many of you just need to be reminded? I've got friends that reminds me every day, every week. It's going to be fine. You're going to get through this. Thus too shall pass. That screaming in the morning, changing nappies, it's going to pass by. You'll get through that season of your life. I don't know what season you are in right now, but I know it's going to end. There's hope. Amen? There's hope for us. And that's just what Paul wants to do. That's his heart. Just come on. Run your race. Keep going. Don't give up. I'm cheering you on. I believe in you. I love that. Think about this week as you go through. Find some people that's going through some stuff at the moment. This week, you know, we've received several calls. Some of my friends going through a big breakup right now. And, you know, this guy is literally, he's in a caravan right now. He's lost everything. And so I almost felt like the Apostle Paul this week and saying, you know, brother, I know you. I've known him since age 5. I said, keep going. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to be fine. Don't give up. We're here. Don't go into a place of isolation. Don't pull back from the body, the church. That's Paul's heart. Don't, you know, that we'll be together. If we go through seasons, you know, you feel maybe shameful, that people just pull back. No, you know, they won't accept me. This is the church. God wants us to be the church that represents the heart of the Father. Can we be that church? Can we stand this morning? And I just want the worship team to come up, and we're just going to go into a time just praying and doing some just ministering. You know, I just want to say to you that you have a part to play in this. And you say to me, Johan, what is my part in this mission? You know, I love this story. It had three men were working on a stone pile at a construction site. And a curious passerby was eager to discover what was going on. He asked the first worker, "What are you doing?" And he replied, "Chiseling stone," was the reply. Trying for a better answer, he asked the second worker, "What are you doing?" And he replied, "Earning a living." He had one more hope. He asked this third worker, "Sir, what are you doing?" He dropped his sledgehammer, stood erect, and with a gleam in his eye, exclaimed, "I'm building a great cathedral." All three men were doing the same job, but only one of them saw how his role fit in a larger, more important vision. And this is what I believe Paul wants to say. Paul wants us to see how our lives fit in God's glorious eternal purpose for his church. When we see this, it will help us with through every practically to deal with life's difficult trials. Friends, I want you to see the plan that God has for you. Everyone here standing has a part to play. You're so valuable. You are so needed. Let me tell you this, all of you, you're so needed in God's kingdom. Do not let the enemy for one second tell you that you're insignificant, you're a loser, you're a failure. God has a plan. He has a plan for his church. I still believe in the plan for the church. A lot of people have given up on the church. A lot of people have badmouthed, criticized the church, the global church. But God believes in his church. And most importantly, he believes in you. Father, we thank you this morning for your promises. Thank you for Paul. Father, we thank you for his heart. We thank you that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Father, we thank you that the church has a redemptive purpose, that the church is needed in this city. Father, we thank you for the riches that exist in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that this is a spirit-filled church, filled with your purposes. And Lord, I pray for every believer here. God, I pray that you'll fill them with your plans and your purposes in Jesus' name. Lord, that they know this morning that they are needed, that you have a plan for them, Father. And I pray, as the Apostle Paul prayed, that they will be rooted in Christ, that they'll be rooted and grounded in love, that they'll be established in the Word, that they will know the truth, God, that compels us to do all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Sing again the song it as well.